The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. It is August 31st, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Josh, do you remember when you said in the show, the last show we did, which was miles and miles away from today, that there had been no news, it's been nice and quiet, and then today was excessive news dump.
It was an excessive news dump, one thing after another, and even Raw itself, well, you know, the Raw show always brings somewhat of a news item. There was things that happened there that will kind of dictate the future of the company, and we'll kind of review Raw and those news items from there. And this will probably be the last WWE show that we really get, because the main focus after this will be AEW for this week, so let's talk about the big WWE news. Let's talk about the biggest news of the day that kind of got this whole ball rolling. You kind of had pointed it out. Brock Lesnar's, you talked to me off air, Brock Lesnar's stock and stock merchandise and information on the WWE website had all been removed. We had kind of thought maybe his contract had been frozen or not, but it turned out negotiations went wrong, and Brock is now a free agent to go wherever he wants to go.
So let's preference this podcast. Let's absolutely preference this before we get too crazy, anything along those lines. This is all in likelihood a very smart strategy from Brock to get the money he wants from Vince. It's either a negotiation tactic or him and Vincent agreeing, hey, you know what? Let's give it a little bit of time. This pandemic sucks. We'll come back and we'll revisit everything in like 6 months' time. If I need you, we'll have the break glass in case we need Brock Lesnar. But boy, it's a lot of fun to speculate on him in other spots, specifically an elite promotion.
Yeah, so look, I think Joel and I are going to preface this before we go in kind of all fantasy book. We do believe at the end of the day, Brock more or less will end up back in WWE. I think we're both agree on that, right? At the end of the day,
yeah.
I guess, yeah, that's more than likely what's going to happen. But that's not a fun conversation. So we're going to have the fun conversation. So there's really three options here, all respect to Japan. If there wasn't a pandemic, maybe I'd throw out a slight chance at Japan.
Well, based on last time Brock was
and
there.
There's that too. Yeah, like, there's that too.
It could be his redemption arc. He wrestles Ishii, Suzuki, and Okada.
There you go. So there's three options. We're going to save AEW for the end. Let's go to the MMA route, because that has always been rumored around Brock. The last time he was there, he still had been training and everything. We had heard even when he was in WWE, he still wanted the one last fight. The fight that's been out there is John Jones. Now, John Jones has had a little bit of shenanigans back and forth, pulling a Conor McGregor in his own right. Joel's never been a fan of him. And just kind of like, I'm retired. I'm not retired. He sent out a tweet to Brock today. It's a money fight if Dana and the UFC want to go that route.
Unfortunately, it is. I don't care about John Jones. I think this is you look at it, it's really funny because John Jones, you strip away the personality, is a phenomenal athlete, but I always like Cormier more, and Cormier couldn't beat the little bugger. Maybe Brock's the one to finally squish him.
Maybe.
I do think Jones is probably, if the fight happens and Jones can keep cocaine and steroids away from him, then maybe this fight can happen. Maybe. Bellator side is more interesting to me just because of, I don't think it'd be a good fight, but it'd be more interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen what can happen there. With the Fyodor fight has been the big fight for Brock this entire time, right? That's been the dream fight. I mean, I think it's not 2007 anymore, when that fight would have really mattered a lot more. But nonetheless, that fight, I guess, still has a lot of interest to it. Scott Coker said if he can make it happen. Fyodor's been showing that he doesn't want to go to UFC, so if the fight was going to happen, it would have to be with Bellator. Scott Coker said when they initially got Fyodor, his dream fight was to get Brock. And, you know, there was speculation at that time maybe he could work out a deal with Brock, and it would be when he's still under contract for that fight. But he was one of the first ones today saying he even thought, I think this is just negotiations by Brock with WWE. However, we would like to have conversations with about him because we would like to have the Fyodor fight if possible.
Yeah, there are definitely some mixed martial arts fights out there for Brock. So it's not something that you can just go, it's not going to happen. Maybe this is a little break. He gets his one fight in, then he goes back to Vince. I think that is the second most likely scenario. The first one is he's just merely using this to get more money from Vince, which he will. And he will go, like, here's the thing with Brock Lesnar. I know a lot of people hate on Brock, and
you and I are not two of those people. We both think Brock is underrated by people.
I think he's a tremendous talent, but any complaint about how Brock Lesnar is presented really comes down to the man in charge, and the man in charge is willing to do anything for Brock at this point. So I think that's where a lot of issues with Brock come from. That said, you can go back to the Dean Ambrose Brock Lesnar match, which we have talked about off air, being that defining moment where you go and you saw how hot Ambrose was at that Rumble. And then just from that Brock match onward, it just started to suffer. And it kind of comes back to what Brock, it was Brock's call, and Brock didn't give Ambrose anything, whereas we've seen Brock give stuff to AJ, Brian. So if he likes you, he'll give you something. If he doesn't, you're kind of SOL. That said, it's still like WWE would be crazy not just to let him walk away. It'd be crazy just to be like, we don't need Brock. I know a lot of fans are anti-Brock, but Brock Lesnar showing up in Bellator, showing up in UFC, or showing up in the other company we'll be talking about, it's a draw. It's a genuine draw to be looked at, and could help facilitate the future of your company in some ways, because you get a nice pay-per-view buy. Maybe someone discovers a nice young upstart talent on that fight card that you have, and then that ushers in a new era of a renaissance for mixed martial arts.
Well, I think we saw today as well that he is still a draw. Just the attention that this got as far as the free agency of it all, covered by Bleacher Report, covered by ESPN, Ariel Helwani wrote an article on it. You had Scott Coker coming out of the woodworks. You had John Jones coming out of the woodworks. You had people speculating about AEW, which we're going to talk about. So it tells me that Brock name still carries weight, because the MMA community exploded and the wrestling community exploded as soon as they knew that he became a free agent. So for anyone saying that the name Brock Lesnar doesn't hold any water, it definitely still does, because we saw how the MMA world reacted to it. We haven't seen Dana say anything, but he's too busy being full of hot air talking to the RNC probably still. So that could be a reason for that. And I do think it's a negotiation tactic with Vince overall. And I think for all the people that, you know, say they're sick of Vince, again, you pointed out the fact, like, when he is engaged and he had the matches with AJ or Brian or Finn, or some great matches with Seth, even with Cena, he had some good matches. Brock is one of the best wrestlers in wrestling. And anyone that doesn't see that, they're just not following the project close enough. Yes, there's matches where he just absolutely squashes people and he leaves and comes back. But at this point, I would say Brock Lesnar has earned that in his career to have that. And, you know, for someone like him, it's made for a longer career for him. And he is a special talent. You don't need to have a Brock Lesnar fighting on every single show. He did that. He paid his dues. I never have a problem with Brock showing up sporadically. I would like him to defend the title more, absolutely. But as far as the matches and everything like that, I've never had a problem with how Brock does things.
Well, and I think the thing with Brock, I think the big thing with Lesnar is when he's earned this right to be a special attraction. Does he need a world? This is going to start to bleed into AEW. Say he goes over to AEW. Does he need that world title? No, probably not. But you look at how spaced out those title defenses are for Moxley and for Jericho. It wasn't night in and night out, constantly defend. If he had that AEW title, it would be intriguing. But I think the one thing that I think AEW has that would make for an interesting use of Brock, and very interested to see how they would use Brock, if by some chance among the stars they land Lesnar, it would be how they would use him. Because it would be very curious to see how they'd use him versus how Vince used him. And are they going to use him correctly? Are they going to book him more? Are they going to book him less? Is his special attraction? Like, there would be a lot of interesting... I'd be really curious to see how Tony and Cody and the rest of the Elite and everyone in AEW would want to approach Brock with that scenario. I think you know which match I really want from AEW, but I'm going to ask you, which match do you want?
Well, first of all, I've seen a lot of people say AEW can't afford it. I've seen people also joke, well, that's why they got rid of Yannick and rid of Fournette. They have the money now. And there is a Tony Khan thing we have to talk about today, because there is some people pissed off at Tony Khan outside of wrestling a lot today. We'll get to that. But the match that I want is Kenny. I think that's the overwhelming match. I think the Moxley match is the most intriguing of the redemption of what that match is and could have been. But the Kenny match is the biggest one, because Kenny will say beat the shit out of me, and Brock vice versa.
Yeah, it would be like AJ, it'd be like Brian. Yeah. It would be just an absolute slugfest.
He can't get him up for the One-Winged Angel though, right?
I don't know. Kenny's was able to throw around Michael Elgin. So
did he get him for a One-Winged Angel?
I think he did. I think he did get
Holy
Elgin up.
Shit.
I think he did get Elgin up for One-Winged Angel. Let me actually look that up. But I mean, he's got the Phoenix Splash. Kenny's got a whole bunch of moves. If Brock was ever to go to AEW, one of the ways it would be like a one-year thing, and I'd have him work Hangman Page. I'd have him work maybe Chris Jericho, but I'd have him work Pac. I'd have him work Rey Fénix, because we've seen what he can do with Rey in the past.
I don't think he'd want to work that big of a schedule, though. He'd want a more limited schedule still. I don't think he'd want the busy schedule.
I think you can still do marquee matchups with Brock. You can do every couple months a Brock Lesnar match, whether on Dynamite or on a pay-per-view. But the two big ones to kind of close it out is Omega. And I think the guy that sends Brock packing is Jon Moxley. I think that's the guy you have sent him out the door. Because the wrestling fans like you and me, and anyone with common sense and can look at wrestling history and you can bring it up in promos, is you go, there's some history there. You know, you read the dirt sheets. There's more there between these two. What's going to happen? How's this going to play out? And have Moxley send him packing. The other guy you could have him wrestle is Cody.
Cody, Jericho's obviously there. There's a little bit of heat with them in the past after the Randy Orton incident. So you could kind of play on that. AEW is showing they're not afraid to hit on stuff from the other company in the past. Although, like, they don't really ever mention it would be by name. I mean, even with the PWI theme this week, they didn't mention who number two was in PWI. They mentioned who one and three were, but they didn't mention who number two was.
Baby.
Technically, he's a ghost, so I don't know why you would.
Yeah, he's dead anyway, so.
Yeah. So I think for Brock, Turner's the one that would shell out the money. And I kind of brought it to you off air. It's much like Spike with TNA, with Kurt and with Foley back in the day with Hogan. Now, one of those was a very good idea with Kurt Angle. I don't really think Foley was... The Foley TNA stuff, honestly, is a blank in my mind. Outside of what, Sting and him was pretty good. That was like the one good match that he had was against Sting.
Yeah.
And then obviously the Flair match that was Flair's and his last match, I guess, stands out for that reason alone, because it was both guys' last match. Hogan was an absolute disaster. It actually sunk TNA. TNA was at a good point, and when Bischoff and Hogan came in, they actually destroyed TNA. To this day, I still believe Hogan was a sleeper cell for Vince, for TNA.
It just... Hogan always seems to be the sleeper agent. So I was like, oh, I'll send him in, and he'll jettison this company.
So for Brock, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you come to All Out this week, and, you know, I think maybe I already kind of saw it the last few days, and people are like, oh, will Punk show up? And now you're kind of like, people aren't even thinking about that. You're going into this week with no negotiation for Brock. He can be like, well, I'm going to show up at their biggest show of the year. So what are you going to do?
I think I would love to be a fly in the wall for Vince McMahon if Brock showed up.
The only things that would be worse for him are Cena and Rock showing up.
Oh, man. All three of them. New NWO. Rock, yeah. Austin, Cena, and Brock. All four of them show up. Just to drive Vince. And I don't know what would happen. What would, just say as a hypothetical. I always like playing the hypothetical. Four of those guys show up on your screen, AEW. What's the reaction online?
I think everyone loses their collective mind. I think AEW definitely hits a million. That's not a question.
It might hit two.
It might hit two, absolutely. And I think Vince does maybe some what he did with WCW. Maybe he does the old man sketches with The Rock and everything. And I mean, I wouldn't know what would happen to a Samoan Johnson either. I'd be a little bit concerned for her. But I think that's the reason why you're never going to see The Rock there. Austin's done. I think if you were going to – Cena, never, ever, 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 ever. If you were going to see anyone that would be like a Patriot guy, it would maybe be Hogan. The Bucks have kind of hinted in the past maybe they'd be somewhat interested. But, I mean, you've seen what has happened. AEW has been leveraged for these guys. I mean, Bill Goldberg was someone that when he first – when AEW was first going around, he had conversations to go to AEW, and look at WWE did. They locked him up till 2023.
Yep.
Is it 2023 or 2022?
I think it's three more years, two matches a year.
Yeah, so they locked up Goldberg because they were so scared of AEW. Randy Orton used the same thing. I mean, it's that thing that Meltzer had coming out, which was misconstrued as what it is, of like everyone's contacted AEW, and I don't think that's the case, but it is definitely a case of people are using it as a negotiation tactic, because for the first time, they really do have competition. People use this to a degree with TNA, but it was the older stars that were going, the Bookers and the Flairs and the Foleys. You're talking about Brock, who is an older talent, but still is almost out of his prime. Like he's a guy that can go and has a name that still really matters, that covers through all of combat sports. Like I said, you already saw guys like Ariel Helwani talking about it. They were talking about it on SportsCenter this afternoon on ESPN. So it did make highlights of what's going on. And you're talking about a sports day that you have baseball games going on today. You had the MLB trade deadline. You have NBA games, NHL games going on, WNBA stuff, NFL training camps. You have Alvin Kamara holding a holdout, big news in the NFL. And on Sportsnet, SportsCenter on ESPN, they were talking about Brock Lesnar being a free agent. There's no other WWE or combat sports superstar that is going to get that attention.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely not. It's one of those things where, again, preference, he's not going to show up at AEW. But boy, oh boy, if he did, that it sends that shockwave, and it sends...
It's their Scott Hall moment.
Absolutely. And it not only that, but it forces WWE to step up their game even more. It puts pressure on. It applies more pressure on their bodies. And more...
Let's just put a hypothetical out there. Mox beats MJF. That's the main event, let's say, right? And then Brock comes out and F5s him. What's the rating the next week on Dynamite?
You gotta think. It's gotta hit a million. I think it's gotta hit a million. I would not be shocked, because you look at the ESPN, you suddenly have Brock Lesnar, because this would be breaking news. Brock Lesnar shows up at All Elite Wrestling. You can check that out at 8 o'clock. And even if they're not advertising when it's going to be on, all you got to do is you have him do exactly what Moxley did.
NBA games are going to promo the shit out of it. The fact that Brock Lesnar's there, right? I've already seen, watching NBA tonight, I've already seen four ads for AW, including a handful for Dynamite and for All Out. So they've been promoting both of them tonight.
I think you see that, and I think enough people clue in, and it's like, oh, that's Brock Lesnar. That's the guy that mulched John Cena.
That's the person that knocked out Randy Couture for some people, right?
Yeah, he's the one that ended the Undertaker streak.
He ended the Undertaker streak, and he ended Randy Couture's career. So two of the more legacy guys from their businesses.
And that, you bring him in, and then it's just pure pandemonium from there. And then we have the biggest moment in wrestling history. I don't know how you get to it. But Brock's beating down the best friends, beating them down, the lights go out, and in the middle of the ring, Orange Cassidy, hands in pocket, Brock puts his hands in his shorts or sweats, whatever Brock will have on at that time, and you just see the two of them go at it. And if the crowd was there, that would be an incredible moment. Because you know how popular Orange Cassidy is. And part of this is joking around, but the other part of this is the crowd would go crazy for a stare down between Orange Cassidy and Brock Lesnar, and nobody can tell me anything different.
Absolutely. And I will say this too. I do wonder if Brock puts in a deal maybe for something for Sable.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't been seen, and she would be a name that would carry weight in AEW and potentially could be a good manager for him. Obviously, no Paul Heyman. So I wonder if maybe they would put Sable in that role. And here's the thing, too. Brock doesn't need Paul Heyman. Brock is a good promo.
You just have to play to Brock Lesnar's strengths. Yeah. He's not an in-ring 20-minute promo. He's the sit-down MMA interview. And AEW's shown that they can do that well, because we've seen them do that well with different people. From the Bucks and Hangman and Kenny, their sit-down interview, Omega's interview heading into Moxley, everything that Moxley's done. I think this company is smart enough that if they got the chance at having Brock Lesnar, it would be dynamite, pun intended.
Mm-hmm. So there it is. Again, this is the big news today. I think ultimately Brock will re-sign with WWE, but I think Brock would be smart not to do anything till All Out, until like the Sunday next week, and make them shake in their boots a little bit, thinking he could be at All Out.
If I was Brock Lesnar, because I have the type of money, I'd fly to Jacksonville.
Yep.
Even if you fly into Jacksonville on the Friday just to meet with Tony, you'll get a phone call right away.
So really quickly, speaking about Tony Khan, in NFL news, Jaguars obviously have been blowing their team up, trading Yannick to the Vikings and releasing Leonard Fournette. Their husband, and then obviously, so he had some Yannick kind of chirped him out, and then Jalen Ramsey's chirped him out, Leonard Fournette's chirped him out online, and Tony kind of blasted back. There has been a little bit of criticism of him for focusing more on Fulham. Obviously is, and I should preface this. Tony did a live chat. I don't know what day it is. Did you see any of that at all on his Instagram?
No, I didn't see any of that.
Tony made it very clear he is not the general manager of the Jaguars. He made that very, very clear, but he is more in charge of Fulham and of doing stuff for the AEW. But there has been some concerns for people in the Jaguars organization that his focus is a little bit too much on the on AEW and not enough on the Jaguars right now. And that is a concern from football people. And there's people that don't like the fact, like Yannick and Jalen Ramsey, that he did go online and chirp back at the players. People didn't like that. And that has been a concern now for players going to Jacksonville. So something to keep an eye on. It doesn't really affect AEW, but it does affect his other job position, especially in the NFL. That was a criticism that was going around in football circles today.
I think that
he shouldn't be chirping back at players. He should keep to himself on that. I do agree.
Yeah, yeah,
that.
Yeah. I think it's probably best to stay quiet on that. But I mean, the thing is, what can, if he say didn't have AEW and wasn't so focused on Fulham, what can he do to change that Jags team? I had Fournette in fantasy. What could Tony Khan having more focus on the Jags really do?
I don't know. And again, he, in this Instagram live chat, he's like, I'm not the general manager. I do a lot of stuff with analytics. I don't really know what happened. That's a team that was a quarter, about 5 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl 2-3 years ago. And now it's all that team is gone.
It's the Ottawa Senators.
It's not good management there. And I don't really think it's fair for some football pundits to put blame of Tony's focus on AEW, because again, he is not the general manager of that. He has more control on what happens with Fulham than he does with the Jaguars, but he does have a consulting role with the Jags and, you know, pushes them in certain directions. And I think the fact that he kind of chirped back at players and that Jalen Ramsey kind of hinted on some stuff with the Khan family operating the football team. Again, just wanted to mention that because this is a wrestling podcast and there is something we talk about. I don't think it really contends to anything with AEW, but I thought I'd pass that along for the actions that happened in the last 48 hours with the Jaguars.
That is interesting. And I mean, in no way are they clearing cap space to bring Brock Lesnar into a wrestling promotion. I think the NFL would collectively just lose their minds if that was...
No, the Jaguars are just tanking because Trevor Lawrence is in this year's draft and he's one of the best quarterback prospects in a long time. That's more or less where we're going.
We've seen what happens sometimes when you tank.
Yeah. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, the NFL's lucky enough not to have a lottery. Anyways, we got too much wrestling news to talk about football. Let's get to the next set of news, and that is Mauro Ranallo. He is leaving the WWE. It was a mutual decision. Mauro's going to go focus on other subjects. The WWE has also signed Wade Barrett to a long-term deal. It's an announcer deal. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe one day he does something with wrestling, but it now seems to be Vic, Wade, and Beth will be on the booth. I don't know what happened to Nigel. I'm guessing he's stuck in England.
Yep, COVID.
Yeah, okay. So it's a shame to see Mauro go. I think Vic's okay, but he's not Mauro. I mean, Vic lost. It was supposed to be on Monday Night Raw, and he lost that position. It's very much of a shame to lose Mauro. I do wonder down the road, and I mean, I don't want to do this for everything, but I do wonder if an AEW goes and tries to give Mauro a call down the road. No disrespect to JR or anything like that, but, you know, he is getting up there, and Mauro is right now the best, outside of maybe him or Kevin Kelly, are the two best actual wrestling play-by-play guys.
I think that Mauro Ranallo is this generation's Joey Styles. Passion, energy, and just always brings it on that desk. JR is the voice of my childhood. JR will forever be ingrained in my childhood. Good God Almighty. But I don't know if it would be a terrible thing to start moving forward. I think Excalibur is one of the guys that you're going to... Where's he been, by the way? Oh, we've never covered this on a podcast because this happened when we were on our hiatus due to everything that has happened.
Was he one of them?
No. It was back in the day, and this is really not a good thing. Him and Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen in PWG. Were baited by another wrestler in a promo. They got the permission from said wrestler to say the N-word on an old PWG show. And both of them apologized for it after the event. Both felt reportedly horrible after the event and both said so. And both have apologized. But with the current climate we're all in... from what I can gather, someone that wants to see AEW fail brought that up. Didn't really mention the Kevin Owens part about it, but brought up the Excalibur part, and Excalibur has taken himself off TV. It seems like the report was that Tony and them were fine with keeping him on air because it was something that happened a long time ago, and the apology has already been issued. But the Excalibur didn't want to distract from the product and has removed himself from said product for up to now. I think he's supposed to be back here in the after All Out.
Didn't he start coming back to do some esports things this week?
I think so. I think he's slowly starting to come back, but he removed himself. The whole situation's unfortunate. In the fact that this was a brilliant idea in professional wrestling that they did, I think this is a terrible call for a creative idea. And I think there are stuff from Steen's past that could come back to bite him in the butt as you kind of go through and read and hear some of his old promos. But I think a lot of that, as you've seen, he's grown tremendously as a person, and he's one of my favorite follows on Twitter because he just very much is a ray of positivity. But with that said, it was definitely someone trying to damage AEW, damage Excalibur, and the damage was done for sure. I don't know where I stand on it. I think that word's absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely 100% absolutely unacceptable. That said, the apology was issued, and it's not a reoccurrence. It's really tricky, but Excalibur is going to decide when he comes back.
Yeah, I like Excalibur. It's unfortunate, you know, that happened, so I was just curious there. So thanks for filling us in the blanks there, Joel, as you know, we just did have that fun sabbatical.
Fun sunshine and rainbows.
As for Mauro, you know, we've talked about the mental health issues he's had in the past and everything like that. So maybe it's a situation of, and I think he may be a little bit of a germaphobe too. So I'm sure that's played a little bit into some of this.
Well, one of the lines from his official Facebook page is he is stepping away to focus on mental health charities and the health of his mother. So maybe it got to the point where his mother was sick, and it just became a point of like, I got to walk away from this. I appreciate everything you've done. It's been a good 3 years. I remember when he came back and did NXT.
Yeah.
And with everything that happened on the main roster with Vince, man, he is such a great voice of that. That run on SmackDown with Cena, Ambrose, and Styles.
Yeah, and then NXT. I think, you know, you look at the ladder match from New Orleans, I don't think that pay-per-view is made without Mauro. It's a real shame. I mean, in 2 weeks span, we've lost the two Canadian broadcasters from the originally out here, The Score, with both Mauro and Renee now both gone from the company. It's somewhere Arda Akal from the NHL network is shit in a tear.
Yeah, it's the end. It really is an end of an era. It is really that transitional. It is really nice to see. I think Mauro is incredibly talented, but he's always you. First and foremost, you have to put your health and well-being ahead, and this is him doing that. So kudos to him, and I wish him all the best.
Yeah, the last thing you can check him in is he's in WWE Battlegrounds as the commentary with Jerry Lawler.
Ah, that's neat. I'm happy for him.
Yeah. So you get to have Jerry awkwardly call him MR, which I never was a fan of. I really hated it calling him MR. I really hated it.
But you get to
hear, Mamma Mia, he threw him into a crocodile.
Oh, that'll be great.
So there is that news. And then what else do we have, Joel, other than before Raw? Was there anything else that happened that I'm slipping on?
I don't think so. Oh, AEW made the top, I think it's top 100 shows for the TV guide.
56, right.
Yeah. So, hey, I mean, if you're on a list with Better Call Saul, which is the best show in TV, according to
the
TV guide.
What was the rank on there? Oh, there you go.
It was number one. It was number one. Saul Goodman's done it.
Yet I got screwed to the Emmys.
I'm going to step over that one because I can go on a whole rant. Mm-hmm. Better Call Saul. Please check out Better Call Saul if you haven't. It's great, and Breaking Bad is just masterful TV. That's my two cheap plugs that I'm not being paid for. To be on that list is a very nice spot for them. I think
with less than a year of being on TV, they haven't even been on TV for a year yet.
And I think that speaks to the way that where the company's headed. I don't think this is the top of this company. I don't think we've seen this company peak yet.
No.
So let's keep going. I'm having fun.
Then we get to, so there's nothing else that we're forgetting? I feel like there's one more news item. Oh, where there's...
well, we could talk a little bit about BTE.
We'll get to that at the end. If there's any other major stuff outside of Raw, there was not another one of them, Mauro and Brock?
Someone tore their tricep.
That was Raw. Okay, let's go to Raw then. So Rey Mysterio, he is injured. He tore his tricep, so he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks. And you could obviously tell from the setup they had on Raw tonight that Seth was going to lose to Rey, and they were going to have a big Mysterio celebration. You could tell that's the direction they were going, with the daughter even being there.
Time to cap off. They need to cap off a lot of feuds. That's the one thing you can take away from Monday Night Raw, is they need to cap off a lot of feuds.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate. It's kind of at that point with Edge, right? When Edge came back, did Edge not have the similar kind of injury as well, I believe?
I don't know. I think it may have been a torn tricep.
It's just, you know, you get to this age and it's like, is it worth it for these guys to get the surgeries to come back? Obviously, for Edge, he just came back, so he's like, I might as well. For Rey, I guess he wants that match with Dominic. I think it's unfortunate in between here because you're losing the tag team run they could have had at least right now, and then the match. It's about 6 to 8 months for this, so we're looking at just before Mania. So maybe the idea is now for Rey and Dominic to win the tag titles at Mania. I do wonder if Dominic is taken off TV for a bit, Joel.
Yeah, I've said this multiple times. I said this yesterday. You have something there with Dominic. He just needs time.
I sent him to Evolve.
Evolve's defunct now. Or defunct?
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think. Right, yeah. But it'll be on the network.
I don't, you know, exactly.
I just have a quick question for you. This may open up a bigger can of worms, but. So you've got Evolve, Progress, and two other promotions that I'm blanking on their names.
ICW?
I believe so. But you've got guys like different people that are in AEW now. Are they getting WWE network checks because they're showing up? Or is there some legality loophole where you don't have to pay talent that were previously employed by their...
royalties. You have to pay talent because that was Punk's big concern when he left.
So it was just a thought that I wanted to get.
It's weird though, because for example, if there's a DVD, right, Jericho, Punk, Moxley, Cody, they will get paid for it. But if they re-air that same show on the network, they do not get a paycheck for it.
That's crazy to me, but
it's weird how that works. But that's how it works. And I don't even know if WWE does the DVDs anymore, to be honest.
No, I don't think so either. I really don't.
And even for the video game, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are in that, so they will get checks for that.
They can buy another pool.
There you go. So, yeah, that's my understanding. That was one of Punk's major concerns when he left with the network. Is that, from my understanding, is you get money from the DVDs that's done. And I don't know, too, like, they just made this deal with Peacock, so I'm interested how that deal with Peacock works. Because they have classic documentaries and classic matches on there, so how does that work? And it's interesting, too, like, when sometimes documentaries get pulled and whatnot. So, yeah, because we saw a bunch of Brett stuff got locked out, and is that because Brett had a deal to have his stuff up there, and then it got taken off? So I don't know how it all works. Boogeyman kind of talked the other day about his Legends deal and said, like, he wanted to go do some more indies, but And WWE's like, you can, but you have to clear it with us. And more or less, though, you're at our beck and call. Whenever we need you, you have to show up.
Good.
So that's kind of what the Legends deal idea looks like. So, yeah, as far as Ray goes, it's really unfortunate. I think there's a lot of good stuff to happen, especially with a very stagnant tag team division that they have right now. And for Dominic, I would rather him go to NXT or kind of just disappear for a bit than kind of just be floating around the roster till his dad comes back and they can go for the tag titles.
Yeah, this is where you almost wish in a non-pandemic world, you wish WWE had like a Young Lion system where he could go travel abroad for a little bit. 100%. No one, and you just keep tabs on him and then you go from there.
He's above average. Like watching him in the tag match yesterday and watching him with Seth today, these past 2 weeks, I think like the watching the tag match yesterday, you're like, Ray's very, very good. Seth Rollins is very, very good. Buddy Murphy is very, very good. But it's evident that Dominic is great and he's way ahead of time, but he is not very good yet and he needs more time. But he could do perfectly fine on the main roster doing matches week to week. I think we can both I think both of us would say Dominic is ahead of where we thought Dominic would be. But it's much better if Ray's there with him to do the tag team stuff, and he could have learned that way. Now I don't know exactly where he's going because I think the Seth thing is definitely over. Seth has now beat him twice in singles runs. They can't go for a tag match against them. So I don't really see the purpose of having where Mysterio goes next. And in some ways, Joel, people might think I'm crazy. I almost would send him to 205 Live because at least there's guys that have been Global Trotters that he can learn from. And that's kind of the best developmental system he can kind of be around.
Because the expectation is he'll wrestle a similar style to his father.
Yeah,
he's taller than his father, but he's still got a similar build to his father. That wouldn't be a bad spot. I do think
we're not sending him to purgatory either, because yes, he's a guy that you want to push, but right now he is on the back burner in a slow program. So 205 is not a death sentence for him.
No, and the other thing I'd like to see is I'd like to see a little bit of size. You hear everyone complain about how some of the guys look on AEW. I'm not saying he needs to be massive. He can look like his father, but just you can tell he's young. You can tell he's young, and it's just
about how old he is.
I want to say like 21,
23.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he's older than I think because we all kind of grew up with him. He's just a little kid for us. Even like seeing Aaliyah today, I'm like, wow, she's so grown up. Like I remember when you were a little kid and Punk was singing Happy Birthday to you super creepily.
Yeah, that family's had an interesting life.
Yeah.
They've had... And I mean, we keep saying this is Ray's kid, but it's actually Eddie's kid, so...
Right, yeah. I mean, in some ways, Punk would be perfect right now because you could do stuff with Punk and Dominic in there as a story there.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what Punk wants to come back for, to wrestle a kid.
That'd be great. Vince Jedi mind tricks him one last time. He's like, okay.
Oh, yeah, pal.
Oh, man. Oh. You just got to do a job to Dominic for us in 5 minutes.
So it's a bummer for Ray to be hurt. I think he's been really good in this comeback. His promos have been so good. So I guess the big thing is we'll see if Ray can get back in time for Mania or not, and where Dominic goes. The other news that happened, the big news that happened out of Raw, was the Iconics were broken up, and a little bit of a shock to us. I don't think any of us saw the Iconics breaking up, and they did. And apparently you and I had kind of wondered, you know, I know Peyton Royce had been doing these, muscle competitions. I don't know the exact name for them, so I apologize, but she had been doing very good at them. She came in second in the one that she did. You know, her husband's in AEW. There was some of that. But apparently this is all for a big singles push for Peyton Royce, which I don't think is a good idea.
At this point, yeah, I think I think what you've done is you've broken up. It's this need in WWE to eventually always have tag teams break up. They always have to break up. You can't just leave some tag teams alone. I think both of them definitely benefit from a tag team. I think their act worked really, 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 really good. Like, it's a testament to how talented they are off on the screen, character-wise. In ring is where it's probably better to have them as a tag team, a little less exposure.
Peyton is better than Billy. Billy is not as good. Peyton, I think that's, Billy has a little bit more character, though, I'd say.
I'm really curious. Like, I'm not entirely sold on it, but it's worth a shot. At this point in time, we're... A lot of your divisions are thin. Like, the women's division has been cannibalized by 3, 4, 5 women in the last 6 to 8 months, with Charlotte, Asuka, Bayley, Becky, and Asuka, Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, Becky. 5 women. They've really been the focal point, so maybe it's time to get a little bit of fresh blood in there and kind of get the ball rolling. I would have preferred if they had stayed going for the tag titles, but it kind of is what it is.
I would have liked, you kind of see what the New Day is, and Woods and Kofi are expected back within the next few weeks from their injuries, but they're not going to break them up. They're going to keep the New Day together and just make these pushes. We saw that's what they did with Kofi, and it was fine for Kofi. I would have been fine if we're going to make Peyton have a push going forward and have Billy in the backup there. It would have worked fine. And if Peyton were to capture the title, to have that celebration with Billy there would have meant a lot. I thought today really made no sense. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
It felt like one of those things that was suddenly rushed and put together. Like, yeah. We need to do this now.
Well, and it kind of shows just from where the women's title picture was, they teased they teased Nia and Shayna, but it seems, or at least for Clash of Champions, did you not get the sense it's looking to be Mickey and Asuka?
Yeah, I think that's where they're going.
And maybe Natty, maybe they do a triple threat, but like when I said yesterday, is like, you guys can't have this many triple threat matches.
Yeah, that one's when you get to the point where you're like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Though the main event for Raw is Randy versus Drew.
Yeah, so, and I think Seth will take on Keith.
Yeah, I think that's probably
where they might go.
I think so.
Peyton as an act, obviously very pretty girl. There's no doubt about that. Cosmetically fits the bill there for sure. In ring, she is better than Billy. And I guess it's all in the push. I just think there's more talented women that are on the card for pushing. You're already pushing Shayna in that position that we talked about yesterday. Naomi still has to get her push. I've liked the progression of Lacey Evans as well. And maybe the idea is they're going to start pushing Peyton right now, and maybe she's going to get pushed over to SmackDown. We'll see what the draft has to do with all this. I feel okay about a Peyton Royce singles run. I'm a little bit cautious about it, but the Billy part of it is scary because I don't know. And maybe I'll be wrong, but I don't see a lot in Billy as a singles act.
Yeah, and that's one thing where I kind of wish they kept them together, because I think you still could have done more. I think they're stronger together. I think they're stronger together, and the breakup here just is not ideal.
Plus, your women's tag division is nothing. Now you literally have arguably one tag team if Sasha and Bayley are done. Like, other than Riot Squad, who's the other women's take? I guess, because I don't even think Bliss and Nikki are together anymore.
No, because that's kind of been a little bit falling apart.
Because they're kind of making Bliss Harley Quinn to the Fiend's Joker, it seems like.
Natty and Lana?
I guess that's one.
But it's pretty thin. It's really thin, and you just took away another tag. The goal should be to have as many strong divisions as possible, and I think it's a mistake, because I think Billy and Peyton are stronger together. I think they're a more complete act when they're working together. And even if you have her seconding, much like Gato seconds Jay White, Okada, whoever he wants to second, You can have Billy be the second for Peyton if you want to give her a run. You don't need to have her turn on her friend, and because it's so cliched and so overdone.
And they did it in the Raw Underground. I guess Jessamyn and Duke and Mia Shafir are tag team, I guess, technically.
I still think the division, I think this was a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to NXT with Chansey Blackheart, and who, I don't know who she's exactly with. Sometimes Tegan Knox, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's stuff there, I guess, in NXT, and maybe that's where the destiny of those titles are going to go. I'm assuming the Riot Squad is going to win these titles, and then Mickey will kind of be a sacrificial lamb to Asuka, and then you'll start going into the Shayna and Asuka matches from there. But and maybe once the Riot Squad gets it, maybe they'll still go down to NXT and defend those titles a little bit more. But this is why I was kind of hesitant about pulling the titles off of Bayley and Sasha, because they had been such rating gold. And for the first time, those titles actually started to kind of mean something.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of back to where they are in a 24-hour span. They kind of seem useless and irrelevant. And you just split up another tag team from the division to weaken the division. So maybe you need to make more teams. Like maybe you want to put Dana and Lacey together or something, but you do need to strengthen that division.
Yeah. It's the one thing that I always go back with Paul Heyman, maximizing people's strength.
Yeah.
And I think that that should be the focus across the board. How can we have the strongest roster possible and put guys in position to be successful? And if they're not, then that tells us something, but let's try to put everyone in a really good spot.
And I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. The Bella Twins are winning those titles at Mania.
I think that's a good prediction. I don't think that's...
They're going to be like, they just had kids and now they have the titles. That's my bold prediction.
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah. I can't imagine the Bellas never hold those tag team championships. I just can't imagine it. I know they're retired, but I don't believe it.
Hey, so is Terry Funk.
Yeah. So I don't know what the ultimate match is always the one that's been teased, right? Of Trish and Lita versus the Bellas. But I would not be shocked at Mania if the Bellas are fighting for those titles.
I wouldn't either.
So, yeah. That's that. As for Raw, Randy Orton, I really liked what they did, to be honest, Joel. You got the heat on Keith yesterday. He gets his win back. Then Randy gets his heat back today, and Keith doesn't lose anything. And now Keith still has a win over Randy. Randy didn't beat Keith. So you still have that. Seth can afford a loss because Seth is at that level. It was good booking for everything they did. They regained Randy's heat to get himself back. He gets a win over KO from the thanks from Aleister Black, but he still gets that win. And then he pins Seth to get the title shot. I thought it was a good job of bringing the heat back to Randy while not hurting the heat on Keith.
Yeah, no, it was all right. It was all right. I don't know. I feel like I'm starting to feel like you missed the chance on putting the title on Randy.
Well, and I think he's winning on Clash, and then I think he's facing Keith Lee, and then I believe it's going to be Drew and Tyson Fury at these next pay-per-views.
With a fractured jaw?
Yeah, man. Believe it or not, but I think that's the direction they're going. I think they're gonna get the title to Randy, and then it's gonna be Randy and Keith Lee at Hell in the Cell, and Tyson Fury and Drew at Hell in the Cell.
It'll be interesting to see Hell in a Cell on the Thunderdome,
because I'm imagining they're gonna have Tyson Fury beat Drew. Don't think they'll have him lose, right? Unless, do they have a Saudi show coming up? Is that where they could face Tyson Fury?
Oh, man. If they do a Saudi show, which they will, I think it was in one of the advertisements for their rundown of their upcoming pay-per-views for the network.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're going to go to Saudi Arabia in the middle of a pandemic.
Could do. I know one show is advertised for it. I don't know what it is, but that's my best guess right now is Randy is going to win the title at Clash, and then he'll be facing Keith Lee.
Yeah, I think that's a fair guess. I don't know because the Rocket's strapped to Keith Lee. You also got a rocketing Randy Orton. You've got Drew there. It's not bad.
Maybe he beats Tyson Fury. Maybe he does, and that helps him a little bit.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm still not.
I don't like it. You and I have been very clear. Like, we don't like the Tyson Fury, Cain Velasquez stuff. It's gimmicky. It doesn't work. I don't really care about Tyson Fury in this world. I know he's a bigger deal in the boxing world, but I don't care.
Well, just think. They've released Cain Velasquez already.
Yeah.
Brock got his win.
So he's hurt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of coming in hurt. So that's one thing I don't
understand. He was supposed to beat the Rumble, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. That was weird. So, we have that for that. We had some retribution stuff today. One of those girls is definitely Mia Yim. I can definitely confirm that now.
One of them's Dijak.
One of them's definitely Dijak. And I think the gimmick's just stupid. We talked about it last week. I just think it's stupid. I think it's dead.
I think so, too. I think it's already hit its expiry date. And
Raw Underground is far superior. Of the two things that debuted at the same time, Raw Underground is much better.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Like, I've liked what I think the only problem with Raw Underground is it's kind of just watching the same thing every week. I don't feel like it's moving people forward. I think it's helped Jessamyn and Duke and Maria Shafir. I think it's great for them, for sure, because they're very green still in the ring. So it helps them out quite a bit. And it's helped the Hurt business out, I guess. But other than that, I feel like everything else is a little bit stagnant with it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that will eventually get ridden into the ground. But between the two, it's light night and day better than Retribution, who's already a dead gimmick.
I do enjoy when we go to Raw Underground. I enjoy the segments. I don't have a problem with the segments. I just think it's a little bit stagnant. The Retribution gimmick is just terrible. It's really bad. You need to just unmask them. Or, like, have a direction where you're going with it. Because it's almost been 2 months of these attacks now. And it's just like, okay, cool. You need to get to the point where you have matches.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree.
It's just, I would say right now that may be my worst gimmick so far of 2020 is Retribution.
Yeah, it's been a complete misfire.
Yeah. And that's something you can't even blame for no fans. It's just not really worked out well.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, there's all the news and the WWE side. I guess the last thing is BTE, you know, up and down. It was fun to watch, but the biggest thing is Kenny teasing the cleaner at the end.
He's coming back to clean up AEW. There's a theory online floating out that it wasn't FTR that told a Hangman to screw the Bucks. It was Kenny.
Oh.
To frame FTR. To further... I'm really curious where this is all going.
It was Brock.
It could have been Brock. Brock could have cornered him, boombox Brock Lesnar, just going like, you gotta go do this. I really want Brock Lesnar and Kenny Omega. I think, you know, Kenny has had taken a ton of flack for everything he's done in AEW. But I think what Kenny's done in AEW is what Kenny's wanted to do. And the goal, I was reading, the goal was always for Kenny to be the ace. That was what they were eventually going to get to, was Kenny Omega the ace. But they had to establish other things before they could get to Kenny Omega the ace. And I think Kenny's had fun in the tag team division. I mean, we've seen what he can do with other tag team partners in his past. So... Yeah. I think that Kenny Omega, the cleaner, that's gonna be scary for some people. He's going to just chew them up like cornwood.
Yes, and I'm excited for that. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to lose to FTR, which is going to be a match of the year contender, obviously. And like I said, we'll have a – so really, this is the schedule for us for the rest of the week. And thanks, everyone, so much. I know we had a sabbatical, but – and I will say this really quickly. We had that sabbatical, and it was really hard for me to watch wrestling. I took a sabbatical really watching it, and I know Joel was up and down. I know you stayed to watching AEW, but I think you even took a break one night from AEW. After everything that happened with everything, it was really, really hard to come back. So for those that are back listening to us, really appreciate having you back. We're going to try to get back to more regular programming, which is why, I wasn't sure if we should do a show tonight. So give credit to Joel. He's like, no, the news came out. We want to hit this hard. We want to get back on our regular schedule. So definitely thank Joel for that. The schedule this week is looking like potentially tomorrow. Maybe we will talk about the NXT match, but more than likely we will be previewing All Out and we'll talk about it on there. And then we'll obviously have a review of All Out later in the week. So two more podcasts to come in the full week. And excited for All Out weekend. It unfortunately doesn't have the pomps and circumstances that it normally would, but it still should be a good show nonetheless.
I think it'll be a good show. Wrestling for 2 months, I think, took a hit collectively. I would have been really curious to see what the crowd response would have been like post speaking out. I don't think we would be if there was a crowd there. I don't think we'd be seeing Riddle or we would be seeing Velveteen. I think Velveteen would have had some very, very I guess you could say some appropriate chants directed towards him that WWE would not want to have on air. Riddle, same boat. And there's a little update on Matt Riddle that was from the previous show that was reported on. You told me about that, Josh.
Yeah, so we talked about it yesterday, though, of saying, like, Matt Riddle shouldn't be just concerned about himself in the ring. He should be concerned about his home life. I really, again, want to hit on this. They really need to drop this storyline. It made a lot of Meltzer, Pollock, everybody really praised that pay-per-view last night. Some people said it was better than SummerSlam. We really loved the show last night, but that stuck out like a sore thumb. And for WWE to be kind of hitting an uptick right now to do things decently. I mean, Raw was a little up and down tonight. But it's still, progressed storyline, so we can, be fine with that. But WWE is in a little bit of an uptick right now for doing okay shows. I really, you had the Jeff Hardy thing, which was super distasteful. But please, they don't listen to us, obviously, so I'm just kind of putting it out in the universe. I really hope this gimmick's dropped on Friday, because we don't need to be reminded of what those 2 months were. It was a very bad time. And, it's even uncomfortable going to Matt Riddle's Twitter and seeing the apology and him admitting that he cheated on his wife, that his one day his kids are going to have to see and everything like that. We don't need to get into any of that. Like, and in a sick way, WWE is like, well, this is your punishment. You have to do a storyline on it. But if it was just maybe a story about that he just cheated on his wife and he was cool talking about it, that's still rather disturbing, but that's one thing. And I think we'd be like, well, that's kind of fucked up, but okay, if he's fine with it, I think we'd be okay with it. It's the rape allegations and the sexual abuse allegations that are tied with this all that makes it unacceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's...
and potential stalking stuff. It's better not to, because even watching Riddle in the ring, we're already kind of reminded of it. I'm starting to kind of forget, which I don't want to, but you kind of do a little bit. I think a lot of people have kind of gotten to the point now. I was like, well, okay, that sucks. I feel bad for the victims, but maybe we're going to slowly start getting back to watching wrestling after being very uncomfortable for the past 2 months. And then you bring something like this up that was one of the darker periods in your business. I think it was a bad move, and hopefully they can pump the brakes and realize, yeah, that was a bad move that we had, but we'll continue with Corbin and Riddle, but we won't go with that aspect of it all.
And I think that's something that they're gonna have to they're gonna have to do.
We'll find out on SmackDown.
We certainly will.
And I really do hope that they drop it, because we don't – that there's no interest for something like that. And I will tell you, it's like, as much as we've been excited to rewatch WWE, I it will make me drift away from the company again if they – as much as I like the Roman stuff and I like what Randy's doing to Keith Lee, it will make me drift away from the company again if they continue to go forward with that. And I think it's a very good time for the company. The ratings have been up. Raw has been up. SmackDown ratings are starting to really go up a lot more than they would. Every single week, SmackDown's been going up now. Do not kill the good press you've had by doing something this stupid.
Well, that would be the most WWE move.
Of course it would. So I really hope they stay away from it, because there's zero interest from any fan base to see this storyline. Zero. So I hope it just stays at a tweet, and that's where we go with.
Hopefully it move forward, but we'll see what happens.
Unfortunately, we will. But again, yeah, everyone, thanks for coming back after our hiatus. We're going to try to do as many shows as we can. We'll be back with an all-out preview for you either Wednesday night, more than likely, if not Thursday sometime. It'll be out, and then we'll be back not Saturday night for the review, but sometime, Joel, Sunday for the review there, because Joel's on overnights. I'm on overnights for my job, so we won't get it to you directly at that time, but we will have it out for you, so make sure you check out that. And, everyone, thanks so much for listening to the podcast, the Wonderful Podcast. We're glad to be back with everybody, and we will see you later on this week when we preview All Out. Until next time, folks, cheers, and enjoy the matches, people.
We definitely need to try to get that Chili's money. We've seen what it done for the Dark Order. I think we need to start working towards for ourselves.
Give me my lawnmowers. Enjoy the day, people. Goodbye!
And good night.